Education.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for coming. I'm really excited to get everybody in the room together to have this conversation. I'm Vice President of Bike for Collins. I've been on the board of directors for close to 100 years now. I know I don't show my age. But anyway, we've been doing some things in the field of education already. I think after the last two crashes and deaths, it just became very clear that we need to do more. And I'm glad to be part of this. And please, if you have any passion for anything that we talk about tonight, find somebody to sign up with, either the old-fashioned paper way or on the laptops over there. So one of the things that we do at Bike for Collins is we support the City Safe Routes to School program. We go into the schools. I think we're the only city in the country that has a school rotation plan. We go into every school every 3 years to educate students from kindergarten through eighth grade on rules of the road and safety. In the process, we also educate staff and families as part of that. So I think that's a huge thing, and I thank the city for supporting that kind of program. Can you all hear me? We also go out into the community and we do community events where we try and share what we know about bike safety, rules of the road. Has anybody seen these legal or not posters? Have you taken the legal or not challenge? So we have some cards over here if you want to take the challenge, if you want to see if you really know the rules of the road, and then you can ask somebody on the panel if you've got it figured out. I have to ask you guys this question. I just learned this. Here's the scenario. Tell me if you know the answer. You're riding your bike through Bellevue, going up to Risk Canyon, right? There's no shoulder. The lane is 12 feet wide. You hear a truck coming up behind you, and you see a car coming in the opposite direction. What do you do, Brad? What do you do, Brad?
If assuming that the truck is not immediately behind you and has time to respond to you, you want to be visible. And so the best way to be visible in a scenario like that is to get off of the fog line, if you're over there, and move out and take the lane. Let be seen. If you're in an emergency situation, what you need to do is ride your bike into the ditch. Not because that's what the law mandates, but that's the common sense thing to do.
I bring that up today because guess where I was riding today, and a big red dump truck was barreling down behind me, and I kept looking and looking and looking, and that guy was not moving. So then I went to the motion, and he did come around me. So, I mean, there was no car coming, so he was able to get around me. But anyway, it's things like that that I think are scary when we're out on the road. There's such a thing as being dead right. I don't want to go there. I still have kids. So anyway, there's the rules of the road. We all want to know the rules of the road. Actually, acting out on those sometimes is a scary thing. We have some other ideas about education and how we want to improve our education. Some of it is with road signs, signage. How do you educate the motoring public? They're not going to come to a class, right, unless they're a cyclist. So we want to try and improve the signage. I think people may have noticed already on Kector, where Steve Stunt was killed on the overpass of I-25. He was run over by a dump truck. There's already a sign. CDOT already put up a sign that says cyclists may share the road. So that's one improvement. We're speaking to the Colorado Department of Transportation about signage over all the overpasses that say and roundabouts, do not pass cyclists. So specifically on the overpasses where you all know there's no shoulder and there's a short little rail that protects you from what's down below, like I-25. So that's some other thing. Also, we had this idea that we wanted to do more to improve motorist education. So any businesses, you know, we have bicycle-friendly businesses, the League of American Bicyclists, bicycle-friendly businesses. I know Holly's one of those at The Right Life. So why not have bicycle-friendly drivers? So people that have fleets of vehicles take a training and they become a bicycle-friendly driver. And we put that on the cards. It's specifically, that says, I've been trained and I'm proud of it. We have other ideas, trying to improve our driver education program in the school, maybe going into the schools with some driver education, cycling education in the high schools, and also the driver's ed, driver education people, you know, Mountain States and Conan, the driver man. So anyway, those are some ideas that we have to get started on education, improving education. Did I miss anything? They're telling me I got to wrap it up. I feel like the music's going to start now. Da, 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 da. Thank you, everybody.
So in the education area, do people want to make comments? Do you have questions? We'll bring the microphones around. We want to get everybody involved in this who wants to speak.
Okay, just very briefly, I know we're supposed to claim the lane, but I've had a couple of really bad experiences trying to do that. There is so much animosity at this point. I don't think it's a safe thing to do. I mean, you've got road rage drivers against drivers. You bring bicycles into it, and I think we need to make a lot more progress before we really become active in claiming the lane, because it's scary out there.
So I think the question for those that didn't hear it is the idea that, yes, we have the law on our side, but as Dot said, there is such thing as being dead right and putting yourself in a position where you're at risk because you're following laws that other people don't know presents kind of an obstacle, because if we defer and do what seems expedient in the moment and don't assert our rights, then essentially we're training motorists to behave badly and to behave have expectations of us that are not in line with the law. So I wonder, I guess this is a good one for Brad, probably, or anybody that has any thoughts on it. What are some strategies, what is advice that you guys have for someone that wants to follow the law but doesn't want to do it at the expense of their safety and their health?
Well, and I understand the perspective. I've been harassed when I take the lane occasionally as well. There's a few things. First of all, for people who aren't comfortable taking the lane, we are trying to develop our bike plan, which has a secondary low-stress network that will hopefully be able to get people, at least within the city of Fort Collins, wherever they want to go. So it at least gives an alternative if you're not feeling comfortable about being the bicyclist who can take the lane. In addition, I do think that some of our, we've been talking with the police services about, can they make citations when they observe unsafe behaviors like drivers harassing bicyclists or other things? And I think they've said yes. The trouble, of course, is they can only do it when they see it. The other thought I had was one of the partners that we haven't really talked about much tonight is Colorado State University. And I think there's probably some more that we can do there with them to help educate both the bicyclists and the drivers as that generation comes out. So I do think that a lot of it's going to be education and outreach. Some of it's going to be enforcement. Some of it's going to be signage. And some of it's just going to be different bike infrastructure, to be honest, so that there are fewer reasons that people have to take the lane.
So I'd like to use that question real quickly as a kind of a spring point to one of the things that I think we just dealt with, Dan Porter and I just dealt with on his forum recently, is situations where law enforcement maybe aren't up to speed on what vehicle code are. Certainly, I think it's one of those situations where most cyclists are law-abiding and informed, as are drivers, as are law enforcement. But certainly, I think a number of us have had stories where we were in the right and were, just as our friend Mel Beal was the other day, pulled over by a law enforcement officer who had the information about the code wrong. We know that there's a lot for law enforcement folks to know and to memorize. And so the question then is, what efforts and how much of a priority would you guys that represent law enforcement say you guys have made internally in educating officers and the rank and file on the actual code and the actual rights of cyclists and the responsibilities of drivers out on the road? I'll let you guys have at that if you want to.
In Fort Collins in January, police services partnered with Tessa at FC Bikes to talk about how to improve bicycle safety, really as a function of the 2014 Bicycle Master Plan that council passed for us. Our initiative really involves kind of a two-pronged approach. One is ride safe and one is drive safe, all for the purpose of bike safety. And so we're focusing now on ride safe to make sure we have the right balance of enforcement and the right tools to educate. So on the enforcement side, we put together a spring bike safety week. Did anybody get stopped in bike safety week? Well, that's good. We made 200 stops for bicycles during the 1 week in late April and 300 car stops. Wrote quite a few tickets, gave quite a few warnings, especially to bicyclists. But we tried to do a balanced approach on education stops, mostly on the bike laws. Also, the laws themselves, who knows the bike code? What is it in state law? Does anybody know? Section, Brad knows, 1412. Well, 1412 is a state law. Most cities incorporate state laws straight away. They just fold them over into their municipal traffic codes. 1412 is a very difficult law to read. It's not friendly. I am of the opinion that the law should be accessible to you and I. And it's very accessible to my two colleagues to my right because they're lawyers. But I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how many of you are lawyers. But that code is not easy to read. And so Tessa and I and one of our city attorneys have worked and have just about finished a new bicycle code so that all of the things that are in 1412 are rewritten into city code that Tessa can use as an education piece for all of her literature, that I can use as an education piece for all of the police officers. It's very easy to read, and it's very condensed and concise. The neat part about it is Joe Olson, who publishes this, and I'd really like to encourage you to get this, is a synopsis of the traffic safety report from 2014, and Joe and his colleagues just yesterday put it together regarding all of the bicycle safety information. So it has bicycle crashes, bicycle fatalities, serious injury crashes, why those occur, and their relationship to cars. Those brochures, there's one for everyone, and they're over here on the table next to my friend in the red shirt. And I'd encourage you, if you'd like, could you grab a handful of those and pass them on to the end person in the rows and let them pass those down. Information that you have, I think, is power, especially in this conversation. So please do take a moment to review that. Joe has all the information that supported what happened there. And so we hope then to take this this set of laws. So what we did is for the laws, not only did we incorporate the new 1412 into a different kind of a format, but we took them by priority. So that will tell you what causes wrecks. And so we took the causation factor of all the wrecks and we put them in priority. Here's what we really want to enforce. We want to enforce stop signs, red lights, turn violations, lane violations, leaving a sidewalk. I'm sorry? This is cars and bikes. Okay, this is the bicycle
section.
The question
is, though, what are the officers on the street being taught about cycling law?
Well, so this is the cycling law. This is the one that we're rewriting.
I know, but are you having in services for your officers to teach them this stuff?
Yeah. So we did prior to the April Bike Safety Week. We went to all the shifts and talked to the police officers. And then when we get this code published, it's really a whole new way of looking at bicycle code. And so we'll go back out to the shifts and talk to them about each individual thing. Now, remember, this is the ones that pertain to bicycles. So we also have this Drive Smart, right? This is Ride Smart. The next initiative will be Drive Smart. How can we get the motorist education ramped up so that we're also working on bike safety on that side too. So I've taken a lot of time. I'm sorry.
No, thank you for your time. Thank you very much for your time. I think in the interest of getting out of here tonight, we probably should move on to this section two of this. I've got Bruce's name up here, but we're actually, are we comfortable moving on then to section two? So where are we at? Let's end the slideshow. Infrastructure. I just want to have them all up there. Dimensions of bike safety. So our next discussion is on infrastructure and how infrastructure can inform bike safety. And I think with Bruce, are you going to talk about that one again? Yeah, absolutely. We'll repeat the question. We'll repeat it. So the question was that in response to the effort to pull over cyclists and educate them on bike laws, is there a similar effort or are there plans for similar effort to pull over motorists who are violating bike code and impinging on bikes right of way?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry I wasn't clear about that. So during Bike Safety Week, we had 5 priority stops for bicycles and 5 priority stops for cars. We stopped 200 bikes. We wrote 85 tickets, and the balance of those were warnings. We stopped 300 cars. We wrote 200 tickets, and the balance of those were warnings. All of the stops that week were supposed to have been focused on bike safety. Bike safety for the 5 bicycle violations and the 5 vehicle violations. That was our focus that week.
We still have questions. Yeah, go ahead. How is this planning? Is there a plan to repeat this, or is there a plan to make it a regular?
So the city bicycle master plan asks us to do this in the spring and the fall. The spring when folks are getting their bicycles out and starting to tune them up, and then in the fall when the students get back, God bless the students. But that's a good opportunity for us to reach a lot of people in the places that we have high density bike-car interactions.
One more question on this. Yes. Yeah, I think that's a question. That's a really common question that we've heard a lot and for many years. And I guess Brad's probably the person to ask about that. The question was, is there a way to incorporate bike right-of-way and bike safety knowledge into the licensing process and into the driver education process?
I don't have anything to do.
No, nothing? Do you know of anything?
Yeah. I mean, I the two things...
Here we go.
Two things from my perspective...
I'll let Brad start us off.
The two things from my perspective that motorists need to know and be taught at a young age that would avoid accidents and be important is the following. Number one, that the 3 feet to pass law is not just a suggestion or a good idea or somebody thinks that might be the way to do it. That is the law. That is a requirement. That's the minimum distance you have to allow between the widest part of your vehicle, motor vehicle, and the widest part of the cyclist. So usually you're talking about a side mirror and an elbow, minimum of 3 feet, and that's the minimum legal requirement. The other thing is that too many motorists don't understand that to pass a much slower moving cyclist, it is perfectly legal when there's no immediate oncoming traffic posing a hazard to cross a double yellow to pass the cyclist. And I've had instances time and time again where a motorist will just be where they could completely safely cross over 3 feet over a double yellow, safely move around the cyclist and move on their way. But instead, they feel like it's somehow their prerogative or their obligation to just lay on their horn for extended periods of time. Those two things, if anyone on this panel can control what goes into driver's education and passing a test for a driver's license, I'd put those two on there.
Senator, Mr. Kvalas.
Thank you. I imagine I should stand up. So I think the initial question back there was, is it possible to to perhaps change the driver's manual as well as the road test. And I would say that, yes, it is possible. I don't know how often that is revised or updated. That is through the purview of the Motor Vehicle Division, which is in the Department of Revenue. So that is something that we can look into, and maybe I could work with Brad or the state patrolman to find out what would it take to actually change the licensing manual at the state level as well as the road test. And frankly, I assume that there are issues with commercial truck drivers. And, they have to go through a licensing for their commercial driver's license. And I'd be interested to know whether or not they're learning about bike safety laws in the state. So those are things we can follow up on, but I would welcome your support in following up on those items. But it is possible. There may be a cost, and that's something that we have to consider at the state, because we always have to consider what the fiscal impact is of things.
Thank you.
Could I just say one more thing? I also want to mention, because I want to make sure that you all are aware of this, because I think it's important in doing a little bit of homework to prepare for this evening. And it was interesting that Brad mentioned about, I'm sorry?
There you go.
Yes, you think I should stand on the chair now? you can relate, right, Dot? I think it's important to note when it was mentioned about this idea of Vision Zero at the state level, we actually have a document, and I imagine Brad must know about this, and I don't know how effective it is, but as part of the 2015 Colorado Strategic Highway State Plan update, there is a report that we put together, Moving Towards Zero Deaths. And I think that there's probably some information in there that I think would inform the actions that we're taking at the local level. So there's a lot of good stuff in this report. And if you want to access the report, and if you have a way to write something down, you would go to the following website, www.co.gov/safety. And there's about a 50-page report that, maybe Brad could speak to it, because I didn't have a chance to read it. But I think there's some good information in there that might help inform our efforts to affect change.
Excuse me, I have a question perhaps to that gentleman who described crossing a double line to avoid a cyclist. I guess I'd like to make a point that crossing double lines for a motorist is illegal. Have you ever thought of that?
False.
As far as I've been taught, maybe it was a different state, but that's illegal.
So the Colorado state statute that is applicable to this scenario, this comes up all the time, so I just happened to print a copy of it before.
Okay.
Came here. So if you want to look it up, it's Title 42-4-1005 4D.
All right.
And here's what it says. I'll read it to you. The top part says you can't pass on a double yellow. And then it says the provisions of this section shall not apply to the driver of a vehicle passing a bicyclist moving in the same direction and in the same lane when such movement can be made in safety and without interfering with, impeding, or endangering other traffic lawfully using the highway. That's exactly right. We've never met before. I'm sure you're a law-abiding citizen and you're trying to do the right thing. And that's why I think the education component is so important, because while there may be some motorists that might enjoy honking at us a little too much, most motorists are trying to do the right thing. They need to know and understand that it is perfectly legal and safe for them to do that, to move on. Those double yellows, You know, those are important so that the guy who wants to go 60 miles an hour instead of 50 miles an hour doesn't
pass.
You're right. Doesn't try to do it in that section. But if you've got someone on a bike, particularly going uphill, so now you're talking maybe 7 miles an hour or 15 miles an hour if you're really fast, the distance that's needed is much different, and that's why this can be done safely.
Maybe one more point. I see all the work that you folks and the rest of the cycling community have been doing and continue to do in those three points on the screen. And I see that. And I know for living in Colorado for 36 years that the education is a high quality education, that it's a very legitimate. And if people take the education, then they really know what they're doing. So you folks have done a good job with that. But maybe where I came from, this was simplified by licensing bicycles, like everything else is licensed. And the rest of this stuff, is this all still voluntary, where people can choose to have this education or not? I need an answer for that. Licensing seems to be a big anathema to this, you know, freedom entire, you know, I'm free to do my bike everywhere, but I don't understand why.
I'd like to go back real quick to
not applicable.
I'd like to go back to one of the stipulations of the initial conversation is that what we're really focusing on today is the way that education of the general public and law enforcement and infrastructure in general and enforcement in general can be applied to make cycling safe. We do a ton. I think that the Fort Collins community, the Northern Colorado cycling community, does more than most in the country to promote that. There is a time for that conversation, and that's not the conversation that we're having tonight. And we have it pretty regularly. We have it pretty regularly. We have it pretty regularly, and we can have it again some other time, but tonight we're talking about what we can do to bring the municipalities in to recognize the challenges. So thank you for coming. Thank you for your participation. We've already stipulated that's not in the scope of tonight's discussion. So thank you, but it's not in the terms of tonight's discussion. So we don't have that much time tonight. We could spend 3 hours on that alone. We have, in fact, many times spent 3 hours on that. Tonight we're not. But if you follow Bike Fort Collins and FC Bikes, there's lots of opportunities for open houses and discussions. YGR, we have lots of open houses and discussions. There's lots of online forums and discussions about it. But right now we're having a broader and a distinct conversation. Yes.
Sorry to take up more time.
No, hit it.
Just in regards to the two safety things, crossing the double yellow and giving 3 feet to pass, maybe you'll talk about this, in which case I'm sorry I'm asking now. Can we get signage up, maybe even billboards with pictures, for instance, so that we can maybe reach a little bit more of the general public so that they know that it is legal to cross a double yellow and also, you know, I know there's some 3 feet to pass signs, but maybe a few more, even if we can get sponsors to do that.
That's one of the ideas that we had kicked around, is to launch a marketing campaign citywide where it has billboards, it's on buses, it's on bus stops, in the newspaper, to, you know, like this gentleman's kind of mentioned, we're preaching to the choir here. We need money, and we need to launch a marketing campaign, because like they said, most people aren't trying to kill us. Some of them are, but not most of them. They just don't know any better. They got their driver's license 20 years ago. Laws got put on the books in 2009. If they didn't read the Coloradoan article saying that they have to give us 3 feet, how are they supposed to know that stuff? So before enforcement, we really need to educate drivers. That's the number one thing that needs to happen, in my opinion, is to let them know that what we're doing is not illegal and what they're doing is, and it's dangerous. And
I think actually that's
the first thing that has to happen.
That's actually probably a really good transition or segue into the next. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Two quick things. As a solution to educate drivers, what if there's something that can be shown on a big screen that's kind of like trivia cards? Did you know? because we've all had to sit and get our license renewed, and we know that that's kind of a captive audience. The other thing is there a committee that's similar to Bike Fort Collins that's like Bike CSU? Because the laws are different for each state, and a lot of the people that come, I mean, I've seen license plates for Hawaii and Fort Collins.
There is, yeah.
So is there any sort of educational outreach requirement for those students?
There is, and as you would imagine, it is an uphill battle. It's always, you know, a new set of people that we have to, not we, but that the CSU's bike group has to educate and inform. And it's, are they represented here? John?
So to that question, next week, we were invited on to CSU. There's somebody by the name of Aaron Hodge. Mm-hmm. What is it? Fudge. And this was the request of CDOT. So there's some proactiveness in this. CDOT is wanting to meet with CSU to see what we are doing on campus and in the community in terms of alternative transportation, including bicycling and bicycle safety. I will be at that meeting, and I will certainly inquire further. And you folks must know this because you're in the know. What CSU is doing to make sure that CSU students know the rules of the road as well as motorists. So I think that's important. I just wanted to share that with folks.
Yeah, and I'll just add a quick, you have to stand up, okay. All right, so one exciting thing that is happening for the first time ever, I believe, is that this year as part of RAM Welcome, there will be 2 hours, which is when all the freshmen come in for CSU. There will be 2 hours dedicated on the orientation schedule for bicycle safety education. So it's a big event. They'll have various booths. I think Bike Fort Collins is involved. FC Bikes is involved. And so we'll be doing all sorts of education. And that's the first time that that's happened. So it's pretty exciting. And we're starting conversations with CSU about how we can develop a curriculum and really get that built into and a requirement for all incoming freshmen. So that's something that's in the works. I think it's a great opportunity to reach that population. And, you know, we would love all the support that we can get to move that forward. So.
I think that's a good segue into infrastructure, talking about what can we do for signage. So, Bruce?
So infrastructure, engineering, same thing.